Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Krista Joy from DisneyWays.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Disney's Hollywood Studios, originally Disney MGM Studios until 2008, is the third of four theme parks built at the Walt Disney World Resort in Bay Lake, Florida. It opened on May 1st, 1989, and our guest today was there as an opening day cast member. We are so excited to welcome Pete Grigsby to the show. Welcome, Pete.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. So, Tony, will you start us off with the first question?
Sure. So, Pete, you're there on opening day as a cast member. Tell us, you know, what that was like, what your position was. Did you stop by and say hello to Michael Eisner or anything like that?
Yeah, Michael and I were BFFs, which is why I was driving a shuttle. I opened the backstage studio tour over there. And when it was first opened, they grabbed a whole bunch of what they told us, you know, all the best of the best from Epcot and the Magic Kingdom and brought us over. And actually, when the park first opened, the studio tour was divided up into three different jobs as far as employees went. There was the spieling job on the tram. There was driving the tram. And then there was the special effects walking tour, which was a separate tour at the time. There were, you know, and as it progressed, everybody ended up doing everything. But at the time, you were either just a driver or just a tram spieler or just a walking tour guide. So it was very pigeonholed at the time. But it was fun. It was neat to be part of something that was brand new.
Yeah, that was a great attraction back in its day. It was twice as long as it is now. And like we were talking before the show started recording, it wasn't very robotic. It wasn't a recorded canned spiel. There was somebody actually on the tram saying the spiel, which was, I think, what made that entertaining and fun.
Yeah, and you know, it personalized for people instead of just getting on and somebody pressing a button. You know, with, like you said, the robotic spiel, it people could relate to it. You could joke around with people and have fun with people and make it a little bit more personal experience for them.
And also, the backlot area was really a backlot for some working TV shows and movies. And there was actually movies done down there. There were actually TV shows shot on the backlot.
Yeah, they did. I know they did the establishing shot for the Golden Girls. Their house was there. I think the house for Ernest Saves Christmas was there. And they did quite a few things on the New York Street. So, yeah, it absolutely was. And plus the Mickey Mouse Club was there. So it was absolutely a working studio. And, you know, which is kind of neat when you're doing a backlot tour. It does make people think, oh, I could see anybody.
I mean, if you've ever been to Hollywood and you take one of the studio backlot tours, which my brother did recently, there were stars that, you know, bumped into the tram and the tram would stop and the star would, you know, talk to them or whatever and, you know, say what they were working on. And then the tram would proceed. And I'm sure it was very similar to that.
Yeah, especially with the Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah, sure.
Because they utilize that back lot, obviously, quite often. And so it was not unusual to see them out doing a music video or a comedy segment or something like that. And then Superboy was also there. So the first couple of seasons, I believe. So, you know, the cast of Superboy could be seen quite often.
So which position did you do on the backlot?
When I first started, I drove the tram, which are actually, you know, for the most part, they're semi cabs, and so we had to get the CDL licenses to drive the cabs. And at the time, all of us that were drivers, again, had come from the Magic Kingdom or Epcot and had been used to doing spiels and being in front of people, so we were all kind of you know, a little unhappy about just being stuck inside a cabin until we realized that in the middle of July, it gets to be about 95 degrees. And we did have an air conditioner up there and the Spieler did not. So we certainly soon realized that we actually did get the better of the deal. Yeah. And I actually think that's how it got changed, because a lot of the Spielers were, you know, came to the supervisors and said, look, I'm sweating out here. And, you know, he's up there having a Mai Tai. So let's make a patient out of this. So.
Do you remember, like, anything crazy happening on the backlot tour? Did you run over any small children or Duffy the Bears? Or
let's see. I remember when it very first opened, going down the residential avenue, they used to have a replica of Herbie the Love Bug. And at one time, it actually worked. It was actually signaled by the tram. There was something in the tram that hit a signal and make Herbie do his little thing and do wheelies. And I remember one time we were going through and the tram sent the signal to Herbie and Herbie's trunk exploded. And he didn't do his wheelies, but the trunk exploded open, and it was a little shocking to see that happen to Herbie on the tour.
And look over here on the left now. Never mind that exploding Herbie over there.
Yeah, so Herbie wasn't there for very much longer after that.
Did you run into any celebrities while you were working? Did that ever happen?
I did. And most of them were actually extremely nice to everybody. There were some that do stand out in my mind that were just exceptionally nice. One was Gina Davis, who came through, and she was just very sweet to everyone. And not really, so many stars come out and they wear the big glasses and the hoods over them to make it to make themselves not stand out. And some people recognized her and some didn't. And the people that recognized her, she was more than happy to sign autographs for. Thankfully, you know, the Disney VIP guys were there, and so they kind of handle a lot of that. But, you know, she signed autographs and took a few pictures, I think. Most of the people I met were at the grand opening thing that they filmed for the television special.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because we had all pretty much worked full days, and then they had a lot of us work that night for that, and that was an interesting.
Well, they hired people.
Yeah, and you had, I guess they say, you know, the real great stars, the ones that really know that they're good, they don't have to say anything. It's just by the way they treat people. But then there are others that just have to go out of the way to let you know how important they are, because they did a guest stint on Saved by the Bell or whatever. So
So now I'm trying to remember, and shame on me for not knowing this, but what year Osborne Lights started? Were you around? Do you remember the first year of Osborne Lights?
I do remember the first year. That was actually my last year at the studios.
Okay.
But yeah, I do remember that. And they had them all strung up all through Residential Street. It really, I have to say, if you haven't seen it, it is worth seeing, because it's incredible that they could put this many lights up. I mean, Disney had an entire crew putting these things up, but you think about this family, they're the ones that put them up every year. And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
I would assume they got to some point where they just left them up.
I think you're probably right.
Listen, Dad, I am not taking down those lights again with you this year. It takes us 6 months, and then we got to spend the other 6 months putting them back up. I mean, what's the point?
Right.
Yeah, but back in the day, they had the whole residential street, and you walked that whole residential street, and it was all lit up with, and they used to have all kinds of music playing back there, you know, even back then. Yeah,
they had Christmas music and all that kind of stuff going on.
Yeah, it was very much different. I do enjoy, they have it kind of, going to the beat of the music now, but I still enjoy that kind of stroll through Residential Street. It had a different feeling. It was like you were going down your neighborhood.
Yeah, very much so. And again, you could take your time to look at some of the things. I mean, they sometimes on the tram, they come up so quickly that the guide will be talking about something, you're taking a picture of it, and then on to the next thing, and by the time you get turned around to get your camera over there, you know, you're by, or your seat just isn't a good spot. And yeah, when you're walking down, you can take the time to just kind of take your time, look at stuff. And
so you also worked in Magic Kingdom and Epcot, so why don't you tell us a little bit about your experiences as a cast member in those parks?
Oh, let's see. I started out at the Diamond Horseshoe Review as a server, and I'd actually gotten hired for operations, and they didn't have any positions, so they put a lot of us in different spots until some positions opened in operations. So I spent probably the first 4 or 5 months working as a server in Diamond Horseshoe before positions opened up in Jungle Cruise, and then I went over to Jungle Cruise. And you know, if you've worked at Disney before, you know that whatever land you're in, you can be pulled to work just about any attraction, you know, that's in that land. So a lot of us work Jungle Cruise and Pirates of the Caribbean, and I don't know if you remember this, but I also worked at Davy Crockett's Canoes when that was out there. So the canoes were actually the only free-floating boats in the lagoon.
And yeah, manually powered.
Yeah. By the tourists. Motor.
You know, it was funny, because I remember being on those, and, you know, most of the kids didn't paddle. It was all the adults doing the paddling on them.
Yes, and pretty badly.
Yes, yeah. I felt sorry for those cast members. So.
Which is why the keel boat and the paddle boat both had right of way. So, yeah. You know, if you saw them coming up behind you, you'd have to get people to get the canoe out of
yeah to the right, to the right, to the right, to the right.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So do you have any speculation on why that attraction is no longer there, the Davy Crockett boats?
I suppose people probably went up to Main Street and complained that they actually had to work on an attraction.
I'm thinking liability, throughput, and ADA.
Yeah,
those are all good guesses. Yeah, it's amazing that they still have it in Disneyland, though. It's still there. So I don't know. I don't know how they do it, how the logistics of all that works out. I'm about to go on my first trip to Disneyland this summer, so I'll find out when I'm there.
But tell me what their costumes are, because our costumes were brown jeans and these yellow shirts, and they, I mean, they were Davy Crockett hats, but they, I think they were made out of squirrel, and they had no, they had no top on them. So
they're very much the same still.
Yeah, extremely itchy. Yeah. So we all looked like Gaston out there, yeah. You know, these shirts with these puffy sleeves, you know, which is,
it's like a bad Seinfeld episode.
The old one was, but I don't want to be a pirate. So
you know. So you talked about when you're working on land, you can work any attraction. I was once told that, so if you do say like work at the Jungle Cruise, that you had to know how to evacuate all of the attractions in that area.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that is true.
That is true. That is true. We had to clean the boats, and we had to do, you know, all that other non pleasant stuff. But yeah, as a Jungle Cruise skipper, you were required to know how to get everybody out.
Yeah. Okay. So myth or not a myth, this whole thing about not talking in the temple when you're on the Jungle Cruise. When did that start? I remember as a kid that, you know, there was talking going on in there. And it seems like just in the last maybe 10, 15 years that this no talking in the temple thing came about.
You know, I honestly couldn't tell you when that started, because when I was trained, they kind of encouraged us to not really talk in the temple. So I couldn't tell you when that started. There's just no good jokes in the temple. That's why I didn't talk in there. But, you know, I think they wanted the temple to be, you know, kind of a chance for the skipper to rest and for the people on board to kind of just take it all in, because for the rest of that cruise, you know, the Jungle Cruise skipper, I mean, you're the guide, and you're supposed to be there telling everybody about everything. So it might have just been more or less a chance for the skipper to, you know, just take a break.
Yeah, it's just kind of a point in the ride where things get kind of a little more serious and dramatic, you know, and like the rest of it is so ridiculous and silly, and it's kind of a break from all that right in the middle. I love the Tempest. And the Jungle Cruise at night is a whole different experience.
Oh yes.
I want to encourage everybody to give that a try if you haven't already. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now, Pete, we were talking about this earlier. So when you did it, they were guns, real guns, with, you know, caps that fired.
Yep.
It wasn't this, you know, pretend sound gun thing, you know.
No, and it was, and I have to say, I'm really sorry that that had gone away, because it was, it added, you could have so much fun with it. And people enjoyed the whole shooting the hippos and that kind of thing. Sometimes I think political correctness can get taken too far. And look, if you're out on a safari, you better have a gun with you.
In real life, they have one.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, we were, again, even when we had the guns, we were told no more than two shots. You can't fire it more than twice. Yeah. So it's not like guys were out there firing the thing, you know, and emptying. And, I mean, it was only six shots anyway. It was a six shooter, but nobody was emptying the clip. And, you know, sometimes if the cap didn't go off, that was funny, too. And so you could make a real bit. At the hippos, and especially when the park was busy and you were running a lot of boats, you know, it gets jammed up in there, and you've got to have things for the skipper to talk about and do, so that you're not just sitting there twiddling your thumbs and asking people, you know, when the 3 o'clock parade is.
You know, this is one attraction that I you know, I don't know how they do it, but there must be a way that they keep the boats a certain distance from each other, because you never really see the boat in front of you, and you very rarely, well, until you get to the end, see the boat behind you.
Yeah, we were supposed to. I mean, they all the skippers are trained to be so far behind. There are actual marks that we're told, okay, when you see this boat, you got to start slowing down and take your time and that kind of thing. So, we were given guidelines as to, you know, when to kind of back off if you saw a boat still in a location. Now, obviously, at the end of the ride, when they all start to kind of bunch up, because it's just taking a long time to get people on and off, that's a different thing. But throughout the tour, there were spots that we were told, you know, if you see that boat, if you're coming out of the temple and you see a boat still, you know, at the elephants, then you gotta kind of, you know, slow down a little bit.
So you guys actually did control the speed. You just didn't really have to control where it was going. It was on a track.
Correct.
Yeah. Interesting. Good stuff.
Yeah. I never thought backwards and forwards we can.
Well, there you go. Yeah, that's an interesting point. I never realized that. But yeah, you don't ever see the other boats when you're on the tour. That's really interesting that they spread them out like that. All right. And now, did you say you had to clean those guns?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that was part of the closing duties of the lead, the skippers who were on duty in closing, you know, just oiling them up and cleaning them out and making sure all the blank residue was out. You know, they had to be clean so that they were safe for the skipper, so that nothing happened when the skipper was firing.
Wow.
So yeah, that was part of our thing. And if you didn't know how to clean a gun, you were taught how to do it, you know. But it was honestly, we had fun in the closing crew of that ride. I had more fun closing that ride than I did opening it. Working as when I was a lead out there, it was a lot more fun to close. We just had a lot more fun.
You know, so opening day at the studio, I'm going to go back there for a second. You know, the studio is one of those parks right now that doesn't have, and they seem to be cutting the entertainment budget down to like the bare necessities. I hate to use a movie.
You just can't get away from it.
Yeah.
Movie song to make my point here, but. Yeah. You know, they had fireworks there every night, you know, the Sorcery in the Sky. They had the Stars and Cars Parade. They've had some other parades since then have come and gone. So was Stars and Cars there, I don't think, on opening day. Probably came soon after. And the Sorcery in the Sky, I don't think, started immediately either. Maybe it did. Do you recall?
I was there. Their big thing was, it wasn't... maybe it might be the same thing, but when I was there, it was called Star of the Day. And they would bring the star up in a car, and then there was somebody up there that would, they would bring them up to the front of Grauman's Chinese Theater, and they would interview them and let people ask them questions. And that was a big thing during the day when it first opened. I can't remember when Sorcery.
Yeah, I remember it was probably. Well, I remember going probably in the early, right, 80. It opened in 89. 90s. Yeah, so maybe it was the 90s. Mm. Yeah, I can't remember. I'll have to go do some research on that. All right, so here's another question then for you. Should the hat stay or should the hat go?
For?
The big hat that's blocking the Chinese theater.
Oh.
You know, there's a lot of controversy that the hat is going. Allegedly.
You know, and they talked about that. What was the other thing? Take the ears off the tower. I don't know. You know, look, it's Disney. Lighten up.
Thank you. Yes, that's about right.
Well, I think the magic wand over at Epcot had its own Facebook page.
would not be surprised.
You know, there were so many people that wanted that thing to come down, and I think it's the same with the hat. Just, hey, take the hat down.
Yeah. You know. People got real upset about the hat, but what are you going to do?
Well, you know, I guess you're going to turn the castle into a giant cake topping.
Right.
Oh, wait. They've done that. I have a snow globe to prove it.
Yeah, that
So, well, if we could fast forward about 25 years and talk, Pete, a little bit about what you're doing now, because you are still in the kind of the entertainment industry business. So we want to learn more about you and who exactly Peter Alden is.
Who is Peter Alden? When I was working at Disney, I also started doing an Elvis tribute act, which was difficult in itself since Disney would only let your sideburns be so long. So that was a chore in itself. But I really kind of perfected my act actually while I was there. Shortly after I left there, I auditioned with the show Legends in Concert, and I worked as Elvis in that show for about 3 years. And it's really kind of expanded since then. I still do the Elvis show, which is it's a lot of fun. And I've also started, you know, developing my own show called Mr. 57, which is kind of an homage to the great bandstand stars of the 50s and 60s. We worked with a guy and we came up with a great tagline of, you know, before there was American Idol, there was American Bandstand. So this is a salute to the idols of Bandstand. So we do all the big hits that people like to dance to and sing along with, and it keeps me out of the jumpsuit. So that's always a that's always a good thing. You know, I long to get out of that Jungle Cruise outfit, and now I'm getting out of the jumpsuit. So slowly but surely growing up into real clothes.
I'm trying to think which is worse costume to be wearing.
You know, there are some days.
I hope the jumpsuit was not made out of polyester.
Some of them are. Yes.
Wow.
Yes, but at least I don't have that hat. So.
So, well, and I know that you're performing regularly at Old Town in Kissimmee these days, right?
Yes. I have my band, the Corvairs, and we do a mixture of 50s and 60s and rockabilly, and we're out at Old Town about every third Saturday for their Saturday night cruise. And then, as I said, every third Saturday we play from 7 to 11. The cruise happens in between, and that's a lot of fun. There's usually big crowds out there, and people love that kind of music.
Yeah, it is. It is such a blast. You know, living here in town like you, Pete, I've kind of grown up going to Old Town. I remember going there in high school and stuff like that. And it's a lot of fun. And I have to say, if you haven't heard Pete's show, he is amazing. He is absolutely the best singer that I know in person. So you got to go check out his show if you're a fan of
the checks in the mail. I got.
Oh yeah, I'm president of the fan club. But no, he's really really good. So you got to stay up to date. He's got a website and everything. We'll go over all that too. But yeah, and I'm so sorry to hear about the loss of your son. And I know that you're doing a lot of work to raise awareness and things like that for his cause. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. We've been working with our local representative here in Osceola County, Mike LaRosa. He actually had a law that had gone through a few committees, a bill we were trying to get into being a law for newborn screening. Because this particular disease only affects boys. It's carried in the mother and only affects boys. If it's found early enough, it can be treated and maintained and handled, and in some cases even stopped altogether. But if it's not found before symptoms start, then it just progresses until death. It's neurological, and it's the myelin sheath that sends the signals to the brain, kind of like a plastic cord, plastic over a power cord, that kind of directs the electricity. And if the plastic was gone, the electricity would still be there, but it wouldn't know where to go, kind of thing. So the brain is still fully functioning and knows what it's supposed to do. It just cannot control the body any longer until all functions just stop. So, but if it's found early enough, it can be stopped and controlled. And it's a simple blood test that doesn't cost a whole lot of money and doesn't require any kind of extra samples to be taken from a newborn. So we're just trying to get it passed as a state law. New York has it right now, but they're the only state that has it.
And how did you find out that your son had that?
He, the summer of 2011, he developed a lazy eye, and we tried to correct it at first with an eye patch. We took him, taken him to an eye doctor, and they gave us an eye patch to correct it and try to do some eye exercises, and just wasn't working. In fact, it got a little worse, so we took him to an ophthalmologist, who thankfully had a little neurological training in his medical school days, and noticed, and he basically told us, look, these lazy eyes don't just happen. There's a cause for it. And he says, I'm not sure what this is, but I want to have an MRI done. Not that he knew it was ALD. He just knew that there was something causing this lazy eye. And so he ordered the MRI, and the MRI came back as severely abnormal. So we took him to a neurologist, and the neurologist was the one that then diagnosed adrenoleukodystrophy. And by that point, he'd had a few other symptoms. In fact, his pediatrician had diagnosed him as ADHD, which is what a lot of boys get diagnosed as. So it's misdiagnosed quite often. At the time, we weren't able to do a bone marrow transplant, which is the only operation that can stop it or at least stop the progression of it.
Very interesting story.
Wow, yeah.
There was a movie that came out, God, I want to say 1998, called Lorenzo's Oil, with Susan Sarandon and Nick Nolte.
Right, yeah.
This is ALD. Is what the little boy Lorenzo had. They were the ones developed the oil that can subdue symptoms. Again, if it's caught early enough, it can subdue symptoms, but it does not. It does not stop it. In fact, the other push that a lot of ALD families are going for is that Lorenzo's oil still has not even been approved by the FDA. So. Who knows how much longer the families that need that will be able to get it. So try to keep the awareness out there is really what we're trying to do, and just kind of educate people on it and just tell them, look, it's a simple blood test. Just ask for it and don't take no for an answer. Get a second, third, fourth, fifth opinion until a doctor, because the only way they can get the test done, unfortunately, is if a doctor recommends that it happen. But just go until you find a doctor who says, yeah, go ahead, we'll do it.
Well, I guess in wrapping it up here, Pete, I should probably warn you in advance. We do a fun thing that we call the Oh My Disney Quiz. And basically, it's just where we ask you, you know, easy stuff like what your favorite character, Disney character is and stuff like that. So I guess we'll finish up with that. Tony, you want to start the Oh My Disney Quiz, or was there something else you wanted to cover?
Nope, I'm good. I'm ready.
Okay.
Ready, Pete?
Yeah.
Okay. If you could hang out with any Disney character, who would it be?
This is a G-rated quiz, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Buzz Lightyear.
Oh, very cool answer. If you could ride only one Disneyland or Disney World ride for the rest of your life, what would you ride?
Jungle Cruise.
I think you did that already, right?
I did.
And you're still not tired of it. That's good news.
I've worked several others, and I always went back to the Jungle Cruise. I don't think I could do canoes or pirates for the rest of my life.
Your favorite Disney song is?
My favorite Disney song is Bare Necessities.
Your favorite Disney movie is?
Lilo and Stitch.
If you could be any Disney character from your favorite movie, who would you be?
You know, I would have originally just automatically said Buzz Lightyear, but I gotta tell you, I'm blanking on his name right now. The snowman from Frozen.
Olaf.
Oh, I love Olaf. I think that's one of the funniest characters Disney's had in years.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have any hidden talents?
Do I have any hidden talents?
Touch your nose with your tongue, rub your head and pat your stomach.
No, I guess I don't have any hidden talents. That's what it is.
Nothing? Okay.
I could make something up. I have.
No. Yeah, that's fine. Something most people may not know about you is?
I am a huge fan of old-time radio dramas.
Very cool. Yeah.
And I wrote a script for one for a contest in high school, and I won the contest, and we produced it for NPR.
Wow.
I've always loved the old-time radio dramas.
Yeah. Do you ever go to like the Bellevue Lounge at the Boardwalk?
I have.
Yeah, they have some interesting radio things that they play there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, last question. Your favorite Disney snack is?
I'm going to go and say the old classic Mickey Mouse bar.
Yeah. Yeah. Who doesn't love a good Mickey bar?
That's my favorite, too.
Yeah, they're smaller than I remember them now, but
yeah.
I still love them.
Yeah, yeah. And now it only takes like 2-3 bites and they're done.
Yeah, exactly. When I was a kid, I always remember it took much longer to get through those things.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Pete, it's been great talking to you because this was, great stuff. I mean, learning all this, stuff that happened back in the day.
Yeah.
It was fun. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah.
Well, you're welcome. And will you just tell everybody real quick where they can find you online?
You can find me on Facebook, Peter Alden, or I also have Pete Grigsby page. My website is www.peteraldenentertainment.com.
Yes, all good stuff. So we'll be putting links to all that in the show notes as well. But we just have to thank you so much for coming on and just sharing with us about that opening day at Hollywood Studios and all the other fun stuff that you shared with us today. This has been great.
Oh, thank you. It was fun. I appreciate coming on. And, you know, it's fun to talk about those. You know, everybody got together because it was a lot of fun. And, I wouldn't have traded working there for anything. I just had a blast working out there.
Yeah, I think everybody says the same. So, you're in good company.
Yes.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc. are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue. Fate steps in and sees you through.